Hi, my name is Sang Ori. I'm a postdoc researcher at Georgia Tech. This is joint work with Dr. Seung Kim, In Soo-yoon, Wen Su, Professor Byung-young Lee, Dr. Yong-tae-yoon, and Professor Tae-suk Kim. Our system, called CAFFOLD, is critical concurrent testing technique for commercial off-the-shelf operating system. Okay, let me start from an example showing why automated bug testing is challenging. This code is actually reverse engineered from a Windows device driver, ndproxy. Ndproxy has a function called dispatch device IO control with two arguments, control code and buffer. With a certain control code, this function will select and run a function in function table according to the value of buffer 2. Since the size of this function table is just 36, this function tries to check the size of the value of buffer 2 to avoid out-of-bound excesses. Unfortunately, a developer made a mistake when writing this function. Actually, the value of buffer 2 should be smaller than or equal to 35, but this function compares buffer 2 with 36, which allows out-of-bound execution. However, although Microsoft is running large-scale fuzzing tool called Sage, it couldn't detect this such a bug. Why? Aren't there two challenges making such a problem? First challenge is path explosion because of array and loop. Let me take a look at the same code again, but in detail. To do concurrent testing against this kind of function, we need to treat the input value as a symbolic variable. First, we just treat this two input argument as symbolic variable. Then, these two symbolic input variables affect two symbolic memories, flag table and function table. Since we are dealing with cache operating system, we need to concretize these symbolic memories, which generate 124 and 36 state, respectively, according to this if statement. Also, this function has a loop controlled by buffer 0, which generate 246 state. Although, these three set of states are independent to each other, so they will generate more than a million passes to explore just because of these two arrays and a single loop. Path explosion is a serious problem because the number of feasible program passes to test exponentially increases according to the program size, especially because our target is cache operating system that is complex and huge, so we need to test an almost infinite number of program passes, which is infeasible in practice. The second challenge is that it's very difficult to prepare pre-context to test some target function correctly. In fact, to trigger the out-of-bound execution I explained about that function table, we need to initialize the flag table with value true before calling this function table. To do it, we have to learn the same function but with a different control code. Otherwise, function table will never be executed even if we test all feasible program passes because the default value of the flag table is false. Unfortunately, an automated testing tool usually has no way to know this kind of function call sequences such that it can't construct the necessary pre-context. As explained, many functions and code blocks demand pre-context to execute them correctly. For example, we need to call some open system call before calling read system call. Also, many functions have some kind of input validation routine to check whether the current input range is correct or whether the current input range's checksum is valid. However, without source code or valid debug information, it is very difficult to correctly guess or construct such pre-context. Having these two challenges in mind, we define our research goal. Can we make a practical concurrent testing tool that can avoid path explosion and construct pre-context automatically? We made two ideas to satisfy both research goals. First, to avoid path explosion, we test paths likely having bug first. Since we have no way to completely avoid the path explosion, we aim at prioritizing some interesting paths to trigger bug as many as possible while avoiding path explosion. More specifically, we prioritize array and loop boundary state because many security bugs, such as stack and heap overflow, are due to a lack of proper boundary check. Thus, focusing on boundary state will allow us to detect more bug while avoiding path explosion. Second, to construct pre-context of target functions and code block, we exploit real program that interact with kernel. That is, to test some target system code, we first ran a real program that will call our target system code before we initiate our concrete testing. Such a program would construct the correct pre-context and prepare valid input before calling that target system code, such that we can exploit those information for further concrete testing. We implemented our system CAFFERS with these two ideas and while modifying the popular concrete testing tool, S2E. We applied our system to Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008. The results were promising. We found 21 unique crashes in 6 device drivers of Windows. Among them, 2 crashes were related with local privilege escalation, and 1 crash is about some information disclosure leak in a cryptographic driver. We reported all of the crashes we found to Microsoft, and they were patched. Okay. This is a graphical overview of our system, CAFFERS. CAFFERS first load and run a VM image of Windows while performing symbolization. It has 2 symbolization techniques. First one is the synthetic symbolization, and the second one is the on-the-fly symbolization. Then it conduct concurrent execution with the test input generated by both symbolization technique. And then CAFFERS also has some kind of blue screen of death detector to detect any crashes during the concurrent execution and store such information in a crash DB. Later, it analyzed the observed crashes to figure out whether we found new crashes or not. Our synthetic let me explain our synthetic symbolization technique. Our synthetic symbolization is basically similar to the previous concurrent testing approach. Basically, we load some synthetic program to test target device driver with S2E support. To test some window kernel, especially because we focus on device driver, we exploit the ND device I/O control system code, which is the main interface to device drivers. We select this system code because it is there, because anyhow, in many, eventually, device driver needed to call this system code to interact with kernel. And also, to test this anti-device I/O control function, we execute this function for all of our target device drivers while symbolizing 2 of each argument, control code and input buffer. Note that we didn't symbolize the input buffer size because we observed that when we symbolize this input buffer size, we encounter some path explosion problem because it make a lot of user to kernel buffer copying state, so we just avoid to symbolize this input buffer size. Okay. Even our synthetic symbolization also suffer from some path explosion problems. So to avoid it, we developed two boundary state prioritization techniques. First technique is the array boundary prioritization technique. Our basic idea is that checking the lowest and the highest memory addresses first of the symbolic memory first, while postponing checking the other memory addresses between them. This prioritization is effective for finding security bug related with out-of-bound accesses like stack overflow and heap overflow. Also, to compute the boundary addresses, we use Klee Solver's GAN range function. Note that this GAN range function is so heavy such that we wanted to avoid calling this function as much as possible. So to avoid that kind of overhead, we call this Klee Solver's GAN range function only when some symbolic memory trigger some state poke at least twice. Next technique is the loop bounded prioritization technique. Because to avoid some path explosion, we just focusing on some certain state of loop, that is certain state of for certain states of loop. That is the loop, that is the loop when the loop is not executed, when the loop is executed just only once, and the loop is the largest number of execution. But the problem is that since we are dealing with binary, it is very difficult to identify the loop condition and structure. So we use a fork and kill approach to overcome this limitation. We just let a loop execute until it fork no more state, which means that it reaches its maximum number of execution. And then while forking such loop state, we kill or fuse some uninteresting loop state to avoid path explosion. Okay, I'll explain how our boundary state prioritization works with some example. And this is the same code example, but we focus on some symbolic memory function table and a loop conditioned by a symbolic variable for F0. First, we first concretize the lowest index of function table 0, and 3 of each loop state, no loop execution, single loop execution, and maximum number of loop executions. Next, we concretize the highest index of this function table 36, which resulted in a crash. This procedure reduced the number of passes to test a lot, from the more than 1 million state to kind of to only less than 9%, less than a very small number of passes. So we can avoid passes protein problem effectively. Next, I'll explain how our on-the-fly symbolized technique works. Although concrete testing tool has no knowledge of how to construct pre-context, it can get help from other programs that know how to construct their such pre-context. Like some program interact with the device driver. We focus on some sort of system software, like performance monitoring tool and some antivirus software. On-the-fly technique first execute such programs to let them interact with kernel for open some device driver, creating kernel data structures and initializing global variable. And then, if our program called a target function captured hook that target system call and then initiate concurrent testing, captured assume that the program has already constructed all the necessary pre-context and provide valid argument to test this target function. So we just using such information to do concurrent testing at this point. Okay, from now on, I'll explain our evaluation result. Basically, we have three main questions for evaluation. First, how efficiently did CAFOD detect the known vulnerability in anti-proxy? Second, how many new crashes did CAFOD discover? Third, what particular characteristics these newly discovered crashes exhibit? First, we check how long it takes to detect the known vulnerability of anti-proxy with CAFOD. Without any prioritization technique, it took around 2 hours to trigger the known bug. However, when we applied both boundary state prioritization technique, it took just only 2 seconds to trigger the bug while exploring 78 states only. Therefore, we conclude that the CAFOD prioritization technique are effective to deal with path explosion problem. Second, we apply the CAFOD to other device driver to detect new crashes. For the synthetic symbolization, we tested 274 device drivers shipped with Windows. And for on-the-fly symbolization, we selected 16 real programs along with 15 device drivers they used. The target program includes some system programs such as performance monitoring tool and antivirus software is set. Also, we assume that such program interact with the operating system a lot. Eventually, CAFOD detect 21 unique crashes in 6 device drivers among them. This graph shows the number of crashes found in each of 6 device drivers. First, with prioritization, we found 5 more crashes in NDIS device driver. In contrast, CAFOD without prioritization suffered from a lack of memory issue when testing the NDIS device driver. That means that path explosion happened without our prioritization mechanism. Second, these two device driver, FireInfo and EH drive, were crashed only by our on-the-fly technique, implying that they need pre-context to detect that such bug. I explain what sort of pre-context are needed later. Third, interestingly, on-the-fly technique doesn't work with a device driver, NSI. We reverse engineer this device driver and confirm that this is because we need some invalid pre-context to crash this driver. Namely, those crashes will not be generated in general. It's kind of false positive in our opinion. And in addition, we couldn't find some program accessing some device driver so that we can apply on-the-fly technique to such device driver. This means that synthetic and on-the-fly techniques are complementary to each other, so we need to use both techniques to detect all the crashes we found. Next, I'll explain why on-the-fly technique was able to detect crashes in the two device drivers, FireInfo and EH drive. FireInfo is a file system filter driver developed by Microsoft. It is loaded only when a certain program, such as performance monitor, has started. So, synthetic symbolization has no chance to test such unloaded device driver because it's just our synthetically made software such that Windows will not load that file input driver for our synthetic program. Also, another device driver, EH drive, is a device driver installed by antivirus software, ESS Smart Security. We confirm that this driver has an access control feature. It's only accessible by the antivirus software itself. Again, our synthetic symbolization failed to test this driver because our synthetic program has no right to access it. In contrast, our on-the-fly technique can satisfy both requirements because it exploits the real program working with those drivers. And we checked the effectiveness of our prioritization technique in terms of CPU time and memory usage. In all cases, our prioritization technique made CAPFOR request short CPU time and small memory usages while detecting the same or more number of crashes. On average, the CPU time and memory usage are reduced by half. Clearly, our CAPFOR also have some limitations. First, our array boundaries prioritization technique can reduce code coverage if our target symbolic memory consists of instruction addresses, for example, a jump table or a virtual function table. Thus, CAPFOR demand a method to detect such symbolic memory and do not apply prioritization for it. Second, array-bound prioritization would not work with flexible data structure like linked list because it has no clear boundary. We plan to use some well-known technique called under-constraint CLI to overcome this limitation. Third, CAPFOR has some difficulty in regenerating crashes detected by on-the-fly technique. Since on-the-fly technique initiate concurrent testing after pre-context have been constructed, it lacks some control of the pre-context construction. That means that it didn't observe how the pre-context were created, so we have some difficulty in regenerating these crashes. We plan to use some kind of recorded replay technique or using Intel PT to obtain some this kind of information to reconstruct pre-context. Fourth, CAPFOR still demand of some few manual effort for specifying target APIs and programs. So we plan to find a way to fully automate such tasks. In this talk, we propose CAPFOR, a practical concrete testing tool for commercial off-the-shelf operating system. It has boundary prioritization technique to check potentially vulnerable passes first. Also, its synthetic and on-the-fly symbolization technique allow us to analyze commercial off-the-shelf operating system without debug information and pre-context. In total, CAPFOR found 21 new unit crashes, which includes 3 new vulnerabilities. Thanks for your attention.
Okay, it's a little bit awkward to ask questions to our what should we work on next after this project?
But as I told you, I think that this actually regenerating on-the-fly crashes was very difficult when we tried to report the crash again. So I think that maybe like some liquid replay technique or Intel PT can be used to detect what would be the real context that needed to reconstruct that crash again. So maybe we can use both technique to regenerate all that crash some in a more correct way.
I don't know, maybe you could use RR or all these other things to capture that. I have a, I think a basic question. Do you have access to the source code for the drivers?
No, we are just working with the binary. We
interesting, so you instrument the binary in real time. So you hook into?
Because we are basically using S2E. S2E use QMU to port all the emulation, so we can just using S2E's, QMU's emulation layer to hook all the system, all the
core. Very cool, so you're able to test programs even without a source code.
Yeah.
That is impressive, thank you.
If you, do you have any?
So since you are using something like S2E, I wonder if you have trouble with sort of drivers that require hardware that isn't supported by QEMU, and can you comment on how you might be able to test those sorts of drivers?
We have some difficulty due to that kind of problem, but yeah, it's
okay. Hard problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
So the other thing you can look at is rather than looking at fixing bugs in the drivers, build drivers correct by construction. So look at the driver synthesis work that was done at NICTA. And are you familiar with the driver synthesis work where you can use formal specifications to generate the drivers? Because that work is sort of sitting on shelf. Some of that work was open source. And we can chat later. So I don't know if that's something. So just sort of look at correct by construction.
That's back with question.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.